All right. Let's see if this works. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Cantina MX Football Podcast. Tonight, we will be going over the international break and some predictions for repechaje for Liguilla. Before I go any further, I want to shout out to all of our listeners in over 10 countries. Thank you guys for your support. Anyways, let's go to our panel. Joining us tonight, Joel and Chiquis. How are you gentlemen doing tonight?
Hola. Doing good, guys. How are you guys doing?
Same. Getting ready for a third massive lockdown.
What the?
Code purple. Let's go, baby.
You guys need to move.
Yeah, well, it's unfortunate, but it is flu season. And we're shutting everything down again, but I just hope everyone's safe out there. Wash your filthy paws and wear your mask out in public.
Or just don't obey and risk the run the risk of getting put into the paddy wagon.
So today was a special day. Mexico played Japan, and they continue their impressive streak as of today. Tata Martino at the Realm has played 22 games. He's won 19 games, has only lost one, and has drawn two. And he's only conceded 21 goals, and Mexico has scored 58, averaging 62.3% average possession. Not bad, guys. Not bad.
I don't want to think too much of it so far. No, I'm not fully bought into the whole Tata. It's been like, I guess these past two games were like different halves. The first game against Korea was not too good first half, and then they came back on the second. So there's some holes. I'm glad to see Raul though get some good goals.
We'll get into Raul in a second.
Yeah. Well, my two pesos on this. We talked about this actually, Jaime, and we compared. Remember, we were comparing his start with Osorio's start. Now there's talk on how Tata actually does more rotaciones than Osorio, and no one says a thing. And I think, and if that's, you know, there's truth to that, I'll say it's because Tata comes across as being a bit more humble, and Osorio with this whole, I guess he would turn people off. He would have this sort of intellectual talk. That's my guess. But no, we talked about how, you know, we've seen Mex going in with these just really good run of results. And then before Osorio, even Chepo de la Torre had a really good record, which was up until a point even better than Osorio's. Not by much, but it was. Then it falls apart during the hexagonal, and Osorio's falls apart during the Copa America Centenario with that devastating loss against Chile. So I think it's the same thing right now with Tata. It's good, but I think like Chiquis, like brother Chiquis, I'm a whole judgment until Mex plays in one of these top tournaments, and then we see finally what, you know, what he's been working towards. Because seeing the region and seeing what are going to be the rivals, it looks like Mexico could qualify just by showing up. qualify to the World Cup, that is.
I agree. Before we go any further, for those that are listening, just to recap what happened, Mexico played South Korea on Saturday. They beat them 3-2, and like Chiquis mentioned, a very misleading scoreline because Mexico in the first half was terrible, and they were actually losing 1-0, but in the second half, in the minute 67, 69, and 70, they scored three goals to really flip the script on South Korea, and they ended up winning 3-2. I recorded the game because I wasn't able to watch it live, and I was playing it back, dude, and I blinked, and they scored three goals like in a matter of seconds. It was crazy. It was incredible, and like you mentioned with the substitutions, the subs mattered. You know, they changed the game in the second half, and a similar storyline tonight against Japan. They weren't playing that well. Japan was doing an incredible job with the high press, really forcing a lot of mistakes, and it was a frustrating first half to watch. But in the second half, with all the fog and not being able to see the ball very well, they were able to get a two-goal victory over Japan, and they just keep on winning.
Okay, let's just look at 2020. You got a win against Guatemala, not impressive. You have a 1-0, sort of a surprising win against Holland. It's a friendly, so you can, I guess, partially give that some credit to Mexico, to Tata. Then you got a 2-2 tie to Algeria, come from behind sort of win against Korea, and then a win against Japan. So nothing really too spectacular, at least in this year. And then you can go to last year, in the highlight from last year, I guess, was Argentina spanking Mexico 4-0.
Yep.
So, and I mean, like Hoa said, we got to wait till we get to some type of tournament, which should be coming up next year.
And I agree. I was actually looking at Juan Carlos Cambios Osorio's results, you know, because Tata has played 22 games. And Mexico had a similar thing where they won most of their fixtures out of 22 games. They lost twice, the 7-0 against Chile and then the 2-1 against Croatia. Apart from those fixtures, every other game was a victory or a draw for Mexico. So like Joel said, you know, these are a little bit misleading stats, you know, but I do agree in the fact that Tata Martino has a little bit more credibility, you know, because he did coach Barcelona, and he's not as, I don't know if it's arrogance or it's just the personality, you know. The thing about the Mexican job that people don't really consider is the fact that you have to learn how to work with the media, you know what I mean? And if you come off as a little bit abrasive, then they're going to throw it right back at you. And I think, like, Tata has just been an easygoing guy, and he hasn't been as criticized as Osorio was.
I think I think Osorio, he was looking for that clout. He was searching for the clout, man. He was wanting to be seen with his little notepad, with his pen in his socks or whatever, and putting out the cones.
Yeah.
And he wanted to be seen as a genius. He was wanting the springboard. He wanted to be seen as a genius. And Tata, I mean, he's Argentinian. He coached, you know, Argentina, Barcelona, and then he went to MLS and stuff. He don't care. He doesn't have that like ambition. He's just like trying to do his best. He's not trying to bounce to, you know, he's been to some pretty good places. So he's not on that level of like trying to springboard like Osorio was.
And,
so he's,
well, you know what, Chiquis? And on that note, also the press, like, because a big part of it when JCO was coach was the press did challenge his credentials, where they felt he wasn't the right coach or that Max could have done better, and it just wasn't seem that impressive, and he had been in Mex before with Puebla and it did not go too well, and you could say he was doing okay in Brazil, but you know, that's not a reason to, you know, to hand over a selección just because you're doing okay, you know? And I think that's the major difference when you look at Tata, and he was in MLS, but he won. He won the league. He didn't win at Barca, but he did finish, I think it was two runner-ups, right? Like, se quedó. It was short. I think he was, like, in second place, and then... But then, you know, having coached Argentina national team, so, you know, it's the opposite. It could be seen as a step down. And that's a big, you know, yeah, not to talk shit, but, you know, it's, you know, when we play the Hay Niveles card, so the press is a bit more difficult to come at him when he's been already, you know, when he's been at the top of the teams you could coach, he's already, you know, he's been at the mountaintop. So, and like you say, Chiquis, he's not trying to springboard anywhere. He's already been over there, been there, done that. So I think that takes pressure from him, because he's not trying to convince anyone. He's just doing his job, and I think that's ultimately, I think that's gonna help him. But yeah, I think JCO, I didn't really like that guy, but I admire a lot of the stuff he did. And just seem a bit bad luck. some of the things went wrong for him.
I was looking up Tata's stats. You know, he did coach Barcelona and then went on to coach Argentina, which, in my opinion, like, once you coach those two big names, everything else is a walk in the park, and you can see why he ended up going to the MLS after that, kind of just to have, I don't know, maybe find passion back in the coaching job again without having the criticism and the hate. Because, I mean, yeah, coaching, yeah. I want to say coaching Argentina is a more intensive job than coaching Barcelona, because the passion in Argentina is insane. The scrutiny is at a high level.
Well, the difference being that, you know, it's the Barça's the day-to-day, because you're doing the whole league. As with the selección, you know, you'll go a couple months where you could just hide. You know, there's no games.
Well,
so
they'll
forget about you for a bit.
There was no hiding from the fact that Argentina was runner-up back-to-back under him in 2015 and 2016 in Copa America. And I remember those cups very vividly, because Messi in one of them said, "I'm done. You know, I retire from the national team." Like, it was that bad. One thing to keep in mind, though, when he was coaching, I believe, Paraguay, he did face Japan three times, wasn't able to beat them. So this is his first victory against Japan. And, I mean, that's something to say, right?
Yeah, he learned. He learned. That must be frustrating, though. Just being so close, you know, winning titles with the big teams, and so that must have been a bit of a, you know, a thorn on the side. Just, you know, so close yet so far.
Meanwhile, with Raul's goal tonight, that puts it at number 26. And he is halfway to Chicharito's number. And he's been at the Selección since 2013. And I hate to say it, man. I mean, he's had a lot of games. He's got over 80 caps. And I'm just unimpressed with his numbers.
Yeah, I feel that as fans, expectations are him to match what he does at Wolves, and he's not close to that, you know, to being like that goal machine he is in the EPL. I don't know, it could be a lot of factors. Same thing happened with Hugo Sanchez. He was not, you know, if you see how he was with Real Madrid, and then with Mex Selección, it was, just very different, you know.
I don't know. I don't know if you guys follow Wolves like in depth, but it seems to me with Mexico, he's not the sole goal scorer. Mexico doesn't rely on him only, because you have Chucky, even Antuna scored. You have Tecatito. So you have other goal scorers that can, you know, that can do the job, where you don't really need Raul as like your main dude. And I don't know if Wolves, that's the case, where Raul is like he's the only guy in the middle. If anyone's going to score, it's going to be him. And I guess he's been fortunate also. He's been in the right place at the right time with a lot of his Wolves goals. But I mean, he hasn't like unimpressed me. He hasn't like gone in the negative in these past two games. He was in the right place and was able to get that one, like target goal. So that was a good thing to see. Chucky had an impressive shot. It was just typical like run. And I'm liking, I think, Pizarro had the assist on there, and, I'm liking Pizarro and also, Orbelin. He's been impressing me with his passing. I think he got an assist in the Korea game. So those two guys have been sort of impressive. But it was good to see like a mixture of goals from Chucky and Raul. And then I think who's the guy? Who's the defender that scored today? So you have a mixture of people.
I think you're talking about Salcedo against Korea. Yeah.
Yeah, Salcedo scored. Salcedo got his little slap in goal. So that was. I think I like that way that I don't know if this is the intention of Tata, but like everyone's involved in the system. I will say, I think it was the Korea game. They got totally, I think it was the first goal. They got totally schooled from it. Was like a work of art the way they just, passed it, and they did the part it from like midfield, and the guy ran down the left side and then passed it in for the goal. I think the defense was a little bit off. Gallardo wasn't covering the dude. They just let the guy alone in the middle, and then they got the score. And then I saw a lot of hype for that Raul. Oh, that's a different goal. He scored twice. Raul goal where he like sort of slapped it with the back of his with the side of his foot, the outer side of his foot.
That was tonight. Yep.
It was nice, but it wasn't. There was some fortune there, because when he took the pass initially, he tried to do something with his right foot, but it ended up bouncing wrong. But he still had control and was able to take it in. So it was sort of like fumbling about. But he still controlled it at the end and was able to do that nice.
It was a tough angle to score from. I'm actually impressed on how he was able to pull that off with three toes, because he did hit it on the outside of his foot and it just happened to hit the corner. And the goalkeeper just agony. You could see it in his eyes after he got. Yeah. He's like, ah,
because it was close. It was within his reach. That was a tough angle.
But the fact of the matter is, again, he has half the amount of goals as Chicharito, and he's at the helm. I mean, this is the guy to beat right now is Raul Jimenez. There's no other striker in Mexico that is better than Raul Jimenez. And for him to be, you know, the main guy, I'm just unimpressed. He is getting his goals, but I don't know, man. I mean, I'm talking about like going into a World Cup. Is this the guy that you want to rely on? Probably not. Like you mentioned, Chiquis, I think we're going to get goals from our wingers and from other people participating in the attack. But I don't know, man. I kind of hope that we can get some competition up there, because as of right now, it's a steep curve. Like, whoever's next. Like, it goes from, like, Raul Jimenez to, like, I don't know, like a Henry Martin or a Pulido, and that's not good.
JJ Mack is still there. I think Tata is saving them for the Olympics, and then he will unleash him into the national team.
Well, he's got to get healthy first.
He's been going downhill recently, though.
Oh, come on, Chiquis. He's still putting in goals.
They even got him the nickname JJ Messias. he misses all the goals, man.
Oh, hey, but man. Six. He still has like six goals, which is.
I think he sealed it that he's not going to go to Europe, pretty much. So have fun in Mexico.
I wouldn't go that far. We will get into Macias and Chivas a little bit later, but one thing that I have to just point out is thank God we have San Memo Ochoa, because he had a tremendous game tonight against Japan. We did have Hugo Gonzalez against Korea, and, you know, he had he just had a terrible night. I don't think Hugo Gonzalez is selección material, and tonight Ochoa showed why he's still our best goalkeeper, and I just hope he stays healthy so we can have him in Qatar for 2022.
And he did it. He did it surrounded by the fog of war.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it must have been difficult to see with it was hella foggy.
I was reading some of the comments on the highlights tonight, and it's like, por más que limpio el celular, no le quito lo empaño. The second half was foggy as hell. They had to change out the ball for a bright orange one, and I was trying to watch Chucky score the goal, and I'm like, I don't even know what happened, bro. All I know is the ball ended in the back of the net. But here's the criticism that Ochoa gets is like, I don't understand why he's such a great goalkeeper for the national team, but when it comes to club, he sucks.
Work is more games, you know. He club, you see him playing week in, week out. So just right there, more chances to see him mess up. At selección, is just every other month. And most often than not, you know, he's on it. And he's bound to have a pretty good defense, you know, way better than he has like at club levels, because these are, you know, for the most part, you know, if it's the main team. So I think those are some of the factors where that end up helping. He was the keeper for the Chile massacre, right?
Yes, sir.
Oh man, see, so I mean. he's been at the other end as well, but he's such a, you know, like polarizing player and he does these epic saves that's what we end up remembering the most. You know, as Mexico fans, we're more likely to remember the, you know, the tajada and the one-on-ones and all that.
So going into the World Cup qualifiers, there were some other countries that had action over this international break. USA, they beat Wales 0-0. Yeah. And then they beat Panama today 6-2. And then we had Costa Rica, who lost to Basque country. And me and Joel, before the show, were trying to look up, like, what is that? What even is that? Northern region of Spain. And I guess they have, like, a, what, national? It's not a national team because they're not independent, but.
That's the Vascos. It's like, correct me if I'm wrong, Joel, but it's like the Texas. Like, you mess with Texas, Texas will secede and make its own country. That's the Vascos. Of Spain, they'll make their own country if you mess with them.
Well, the Basque, because they retained like their identity, so they consider themselves separate, but they're still under Spanish rule. Same with in Barcelona, the Catalans, and the, you know, the Catalanes, and they still have their own flag, and they even have like their own national team, but it's like. You know, it's they don't compete. I don't think they're part of FIFA or they compete in any type of tournaments like that. They'll play friendly games. And I think it's just here and there where they managed to get games. So I guess they got one with Costa Rica. And that's...
Yeah. Costa Rica did hold their own against Qatar. They did have a 1-1 draw with them. And then also Jamaica was able to beat Saudi Arabia 2-1.
They played them twice. So they lost the first game
3-0,
and they bounced back to win. But not impressed, Jaime. Not impressed with what I'm seeing. Although I am happy for Guate. They beat Honduras. Honduras was, you know, their fans were like saying they wanted a better opponent. And ended up getting smacked across the head. But that's a team that that's like they were like bankrupt, you know?
Right.
You know, it's just you want to see some of these teams. I felt they dropped the ball, you know, like the Guate, El Salvador, some of these teams. And then you end up seeing like Panama that in the past years just came up and was one of the challenging teams. And it seems like their generation they had where they had to, like the Deli Valdez and all these other Baloy and all these other, you know, pretty good players. Seems like that generation already aged out, and their younger guys just, I don't, they might not be at that level. And they already got washed by the U.S. It was 6-2, right?
That's right. 6-2 against Panama. And they redeemed themselves from a draw against Wales. But this should be a pretty easy qualification for Mexico. I don't really see anybody stepping up and giving us any trouble.
The hardest thing for Tata will be motivating the team. I think that's going to be his most difficult task. You know, keep those guys level-headed. Because I still think if it goes to their head, you know, where they think, all right, it's a walk in the park, where they might, you know, that's always a risk. But as long as they're, you know, they maintain, which I'm pretty sure they will.
I think they'll be okay.
I'm with you, man. I don't see much struggles. And that, I don't know, man. I don't know if that's going to affect. Because, you know, remember with La Volpe, same thing. And he, when La Volpe was coach, and that's the whole phrase, pasamos caminando. And it was, yeah, the opponents were weak. It's every now and then you will have a tough group, but it just, this is not going to be it. Just like back then, it wasn't. You know which one was more scary when Sven was coach?
Yeah, 2010.
And yeah, man, that's, Mex almost didn't even make it to the hex.
That's right.
It took a goal from El Oso Polar to keep Mexico in the fight.
Yeah, we've had some scary scenarios in the past, but I think the trajectory we're going with Tata Martino is very similar to Osorio, where we're going to go into this, you know, caminando. I mean, I do hope that alongside us, Canada will qualify because they do have some talented players, and it'd be nice to see Canada in a World Cup. But
don't you think they're dropping the ball, Jaime? I don't see them in the international friendlies. What are these guys doing, man?
Who?
I mean, Canada. I didn't see them have any games in this, you know.
I don't know if they're just being safe.
I mean, if Oscaudi can get a game, you know, you would think Canada could manage something, you know. There's,
yeah, I'm coming up with nothing right now. And to be fair, you know, I understand them being precautious. This was overall, I think, in some ways, a disaster for a lot of players because, at least with Korea, 7 other players tested positive for COVID. And then also with the international break, Chivas let the Selección under 23 borrow some of their players, and they came back with with some accidents. Alexis Vega will be out for 4 to 6 weeks. Looks like some player from Cruz Azul took him out.
Wait, 4 to 6 weeks?
4 to 6 weeks.
Oh, I thought you said 46. No. I was like, what the hell?
No, that's a...
Damn. Okay, that's not that bad. It was like 2 months. 2 months. He could do the Chivas. I don't know if they still have that E-League. They were playing the FIFA game.
They're going to be playing FIFA.
Yeah, he could take over those duties.
So, yeah, we are heading into repechaje. We finally have dates and times for these upcoming fixtures. There's 8 teams. There's 4 games. And I guess we can start with Santos and Pachuca. They're going to kick off things on Saturday at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. That one's basically a coin flip. Nothing much to divide those two teams between Santos and Pachuca.
Yeah, tough call right there. Where do they open at? Where's the first match?
Yeah, they are the first match.
No, where is it?
It's gonna be in Torreón.
La Comarca Lagunera. Okay, then usually you with teams like that, the closing team usually has a slight advantage if you could close at home. There is that whole thing now where it's like empty stadium.
Right.
And I don't know if that's the Tuzos are going to be allowed to have. But even at what, like 50% capacity?
I don't know if that's a thing. I don't know if they're like going to allow fans to be partaking in these Liga fixtures. As of what I understood, it was just Mazatlán and Necaxa, but I don't know if they've actually open it up for everybody else. What I will say, though, is these two teams played each other just 3 fixtures ago, and they tied 1-1. So, like I mentioned, it's basically a coin flip. There's not really much between them. And even Apertura of last season, they tied 2-2. So, I mean... It can go to anybody, but I agree with you. I will definitely give the home team the advantage, and in this case, it will be Santos. And then,
wait, hold on. Is this ida y vuelta?
No, this is a single game elimination match.
Oh, that's good.
And if I'm not mistaken, it goes straight into penalties if they tie in regular time. So there's no overtime. It's just penalty shootout.
Okay.
Oh, thank you. I'm talking about Pachuca having the slight. So then it Santos should have it then.
Yeah.
They're at home. Yeah, so slight advantage. I'll give them the slight advantage to Santos.
Right after that match, we are going to have Guadalajara versus Necaxa. Like I mentioned, Alexis Vega out for 4 to 6 weeks, arguably Chivas' best player. That's quite unfortunate. It got to the point where even Peláez is looking to, try and sue the player or demand that he gets like suspended for the rest of the season. Like, it's that serious. Like, they are very upset that this happened. And, It makes you not want to let the Selección borrow your players.
Well, Peláez, I like the guy, but he sounded salty, and it's like... it was a Cruz Azul player that injured him, and he wanted to have that guy suspended, but it's...
It's part of the
game.
It's
not like... It was like a friendly... It wasn't like a friendly, it was like a... You know, it wasn't like league. It didn't happen during like a league... During league play, so I don't think that's something you could do. You know, it's like basically because you did something at a Cascarita, they're gonna suspend you from World Cup qualifying, something like that. You know, so. But I think he's just doing it to kind of, I don't know. I know he has other motives, but whatever. Whoever Necaxa was praying to, man, they answered their prayers because, yeah, they would want to face Chivas with their two best strikers not available.
I'll say this about the Alexis Vega injury. It's part of the game. You can't really protect your players and stuff. I will say, though, that it's kind of stupid to, like, you know, keep your players, warm or active or in shape between these international breaks. It wasn't that much of a break. You know, it was only 10 days. And it's so silly to, like, put your player at risk going into, like, an elimination game. And also, I do understand where Belas is coming from, like, being upset about the player, because this is, at the end of the day, a friendly. This wasn't a match that was going to make or break, like, that team's, like, trajectory. And to go into that tackle is just unnecessary. It's a friendly game. You don't have to go out and take him out, man. Like, just, you know, it's a friendly match. There's no need for that kind of malicious tackle. So I understand both sides, but I do think that when you're going into a game that's a friendly, I think you should just be mindful of, like, hey, at the end of the day, bro, you're a human being, you know, don't fuck up his career.
Well, but and on Chivas' part, I do think they should have just not allowed the players to go.
Yeah.
Seeing all the stuff Chivas has been going through and how they 86th four players and just all this madre surrounding the team and you got this big match coming up. You're like, no way, man. We're close for repairs. Just no. Just no, man. No means no. And that's it. And I don't know why. I don't know why they agreed. I don't know if it was mandatory. But yeah, they should have made a stronger case. And if I have to give a negative mark to Pelaez, that would be right there. You know,
mm-hmm.
he should have done more to protect us. You know, these players. Now the team is in a just weak position, man.
Yes, and the other player, like you mentioned, Macias, will also be out for this game. He's got a muscle injury, so he will not be back in time for the game against Necaxa. And all of a sudden, what seemed to be, I don't know, not an easy match for Chivas, because the last time these two faced, it was in sort of a goal and stoppage that Chivas needed to win the game. Now, this is more of a neutral game, and if anything, this might be a good opportunity for Necaxa to get an upset.
I don't know. Is it, how much of an upset can it be? Not to bring down the goats, but man, this is a team that had missed five straight liguillas. So,
true.
You know, it's
the name weighs.
It does. It does. It will be. It will get presented as such.
Yeah, I think that, like you mentioned in the earlier podcast, like it was considered a success for Chivas to qualify for Liguilla and to end up at least in the top eight, regardless of, like, you know, this being expanded to 12 teams now. It was important that Chivas finished in a respectable position. And it kind of seemed, especially after beating Monterrey, who are, you know, a contender and are a very dangerous team, in the manner of how we defeated Monterrey 3-1 at home, it just felt like, okay, this is the spark that we needed to carry on to Liguilla and maybe, you know, upset some teams. Necaxa was going to be sort of a warm-up match, and then we were probably going to go on to play like a, you know, Monterrey, America. Actually, I think it was America was going to be the next team in the bracket after this. So it's like, it kind of felt like, all right, we have something to aspire to. But now with all these players being out of commission on top of, like, the players that have been banned from the team, it kind of just feels like, well, better luck next year.
Damn. See, I have a pretty sad hearing stats for fellow goats. So in the last 10 years, going back to Clausura 2008, the last 10 years, which will be 24 leagues, since it's two. Chivas has not qualified 15 times.
Wow.
So I'm going to go real quick. Clausura 208, they were eliminated by Monterrey in quarterfinals. So basically the first round. 2008, Apertura didn't qualify. Clausura 2009, they didn't qualify. Apertura 2009, they didn't qualify. 2010, eliminated by Morelia in semifinals. And then the following tournament, Apertura 2010, they don't qualify. Clausura 2011, they make it to the semis. They're eliminated by Pumas. And then Apertura 2011, they get eliminated by Querétaro in the first round of Liguilla.
Oh, I remember that one.
Clausura 2012, they didn't qualify. Apertura 2012, eliminated by Toluca in the first round of qualifying. I mean, of Liguilla, not qualifying. So Clausura 2013, no Liguilla. Apertura 2013, no Liguilla. Clausura 2014, no Liguilla. Apertura 2014, no Liguilla again. Four, that's four in a row, man. And then... And then Clausura 2015, that was with my boy Chepo in the helm. They make it to the semis against Santos. They boot him, in comes Mati. Apertura 2015, they don't qualify. Clausura 2016, eliminated by America in the first round of Liguilla. Apertura 2016, eliminated by America again. In the first round, at this point, I would rather not qualify.
I remember that. I remember that, man. Back to back against America.
Finally, Clausura 2017, they lift the cup, so they win. They win the league. Clausura 2017, they win the league. And you know, seeing how abysmal it had been, we could see why just Mati got so much praise, you know. A lot of these fans had just been used to a lot of negative results. But then after that, Apertura 2017, no Liguilla. Clausura 2018, no Liguilla. Apertura 2018, no Liguilla. Clausura 2019, no Liguilla. And then the Apertura 2019, again, no Liguilla. So that was five in a row. Ah, man. That's why a big reason why I was saying that the team finishing, I think they finished in seventh.
Yep.
It's a good sign because, you know, they didn't have to, you know, they didn't need that 12-place stimulus bump to get in there. And
we didn't need help.
They managed.
Yeah.
Yeah, if it would have been a regular Liguilla, they would have still qualified. So it's a good sign. And if they do get bounced out by Necaxa, I mean, it's just tough luck at that point just because of some of the stuff that's been going on and then the injuries. But at least we know the team's in the right path. And then for the next season, they should be better prepared and we could expect Liguilla. And at that point, it's like already the team's being more consistent in qualifying. So you have to at least be consistent in that point before you could think of challenging for the cup. But for the championship, I should say. So I wouldn't be butthurt, you know. Lost to Necaxa, it's all right. I'm not, you know. I know what the goal is, man. The end goal is it will be to be campeón again, and as long as the team stays on track, I do feel they will achieve it.
I will say that you reading off like the rap sheet like that really gives perspective to what it actually has been the reality. And the reality is that Chivas have been a mediocre side, and they appear they appear once a decade. You know, they get their one trophy every decade, and then they go back into obscurity.
Then compare, you know, like if you look at Santos and even like Pachuca in the past years and how they've been. So these guys have been more consistent and challenged for it more often. I think when Chivas, though, if they have any saving grace, was, you know, that they did get to Libertadores final, and that was huge. You know, very few teams could make that claim. So that was one of their logros in this list of misery, and it also shows why a lot of the Chivas fans were celebrating these Copa MX. You know, they were treating them as massive accomplishments. And so that's why it felt so good when the team was winning and they won like Copa MX and then they won Super Copa. It don't matter if it was against Veracruz.
Or Querétaro,
it could have been Mazatlán. The fans just want to celebrate these wins. So I think the team needs a lot of work. So a ver qué. Let's see what happens, because now this is a Maori era, you know?
That's true.
Let's see what we have in store. And I think him bringing Peláez was a good move. You know, I just hope he's not as volatile as his dad, where he'll just, you know, I got this. he'll have that, you know. He just all of a sudden boot out. Because, you know, his old man brought in some really talented people, and he would just give him the stunner, you know.
He got in his own way.
He'll bring someone really good. He'll like shake their hand, and then he'll turn around and then just kick them in the crotch, stunner, dump beer on them, and that was that. Because I mean, look who he had. He had Johan Cruyff.
Yes,
granted, dude was sick, but I mean, if I have contact with Cruyff, if he can't come, I go to him.
Yeah. Exactly.
That dude was a wealth of knowledge. So, I mean, fuck it. Send him out, you know? Like, just go over there, dude. We're paying this dude money, man. Fucking.
Yeah.
Go stay in his house for a couple months, man. Just pick his brain, dude. But seriously, man. Because this, you know, this guy was involved with the Ajax and the Barcelona and all that, which have elements of what Chivas kind of used with under Hans Westerhoff, and they were sort of trying to bring that back.
Yeah.
And but you know, stuff didn't work out. He had Lebrija, who was another, and I hope I'm not getting it wrong. In my old age, my brain plays tricks on me. But he had one of the masterminds behind that epic Toluca team. And he had him at Chivas, and again, booted him.
Actually,
he left because he said, you know, yeah, it was Lebrija. I just, my mind, Jaime.
They were going over his head, right?
It froze me.
They were going over his head. Yeah.
He did. He kept them out of the loop for the Man U deal with Chicharo. And I believe he said I would have kept them because we had Libertadores final, and that would have been massive. And yeah, I agree with that dude. But I mean, that was a guy that I you know, he knows his stuff. So let's see what happens. This new
We'll see what happens. Chivas will face Necaxa on Saturday at 7 p.m. Also, something worth mentioning, it's been a year since Vergara died. It was his anniversary on the 15th. And I don't know, now that he's dead, it makes me feel a little bit different about his era. He did give us a stadium after all. And I don't know, I guess he did more good for the team than damage. But there are definitely some times where I felt that he was just not allowing the people that he employed do their job. He was micromanaging and going over their heads, and I don't like the fact of how he took, you know, how he handled the legends of the team, and how they all basically left through the back door without any getting any recognition. And you gotta take care of your legends, man. Like, someone like Ramon Morales deserves a statue outside the stadium. I mean, that guy was a legend for Chivas.
Ramoncito.
So,
and even Bofo.
Bofo.
Yeah, I mean, the dude came back with his tail tucked between his legs. And I do feel that they should have allowed him some games, because he was complying. They had him at Cimarrones what was that team? Geez, I can't remember.
He was at Querétaro, and then...
No. It was the team that was... They were linked up with Chivas. And Higuera owned them. It was white. It has like a white uniform with a stripe.
He played for Querétaro, Atlético San Luis, Coras.
There you go. It was Coras.
Yeah.
It was Coras, and then... So he was at Coras, which was kind of Chivas' B team, you know? That's where they were sending the youth. But I mean, big reason he was there was because he was trying to bounce back. And I don't know if he was there when they made the final, because he did take him to the... They did play a final, and it was Tiburón. And it was crazy how you get out, like, sack Tiburón, because... He wanted to bring in Mauro Camoranesi because of the name, you know. Mm. And because Mauro was, you know, World Cup champion and all that. And then the team just sort of never really got to where they did. But, and then Tibu just, and I was expecting a bit more, you know, but same, Tiburón hasn't really managed anything else. But that was that. But yeah, man, I would have liked to see at least Bofo. You know how we have even if he would have been as effective as Hermoso.
That's true. Peralta hasn't done anything for Chivas, and it's just been a waste of money
for America. It's America's paying him.
He might get some minutes because we are short on strikers.
That's right. This is his chance to shine right there, Jaime. Yeah, man.
This is the opportunity.
Really, it is, dude. It really is, because he's been waiting for something like this.
If I was him, I would get my little scoop of Metamucil and take some vitamins, go into training, go in early.
When you say training, he needs one of those 80s montage training,
needs,
like when
one of
Rocky,
those Rocky moments,
like, yeah, like, he's up in the mountains, he let his beard grow,
he's got chickens running around, he's trying to chase them,
and he's running in snow, and
he's
chucking rocks.
If I was him, man, I would try to make rain. I would go into training early. I would go after training's over. I would go into the weight training, or, you know, practice free kicks or something. Just show that, hey, man, like, don't count me out. You need someone to step up. You know, give me the start, coach. But he's probably just counting his pesos, because he's getting paid pretty well. leading into Sunday and putting a bow tie on this repechaje. Tigres will be playing Toluca. Tigres will host Toluca at 5 p.m. Gignac, again, complaining on the last game because of some foul or some calls or controversy. He's going to have to step it up and get Tigres the victory over Toluca. And then Rayados should have a cakewalk against Puebla, but we never know. Both these games will take place on Sunday. Any predictions for those games?
Okay, which one's the first one?
Tigres, Toluca.
Tigres.
I go with Tigres too. Although we did talk about it, I may remember which Tigres is going to show up.
That's right.
You know, is it the one that lost to Atlas? Because even Toluca would take advantage of that.
It's playoff times, though. It's playoff time. So
yeah, but you know,
Gignac is going to have to come up clutch.
He is.
He is, and that's the one thing Jaime was saying. He's the Mr. Monday Night, or I don't know how
October,
you November.
Mr. I guess we're in November.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Show up for Leia, but do keep in mind they did lose to Toluca in the regular season 3-2. And Gignac scored 2 goals in that game. And they still lost.
Mm-hmm.
So
they have to tighten up their defense.
Something to consider.
The next one should be pretty simple. Monterrey beating Puebla.
Yeah, I mean, that game looks like a no contest. However, Monterrey did lose to Chivas 3-1. They're coming off a defeat. And Puebla has a goal scorer.
Yeah.
They do. What was his name?
Ormeño,
there you go. He's been one of the Mexis we've been highlighting here.
Santi.
So let's see.
He's having a great season for Puebla. I believe he's got 6 goals. And he is Mexican. He's 26 years old, so like I mentioned earlier, we know we're having a striker crisis, and this is his time to shine. So these will be the 4 fixtures that we will have on the weekend, and after that, we will see what the aftermath looks like and who will be linking up with who. I know it's been a quiet night for Chiquis because his Pumas are sitting pretty, just waiting for their opponents.
Yeah. I was waiting for you to put a bow tie on this Baronil stuff. And let's get into talking some hair ties.
Let's hear it.
No, just kidding.
you were watching the big Clásico, right?
Yeah, the Super Clásico, man. So yeah, let me have a quick take on this stuff.
Let's hear it.
So normally I don't watch feminine too much, but I sort of got into this game and I turned it on. I actually went to Guadalajara once and went and checked out the Chivas and took a picture with their goalkeeper. Let's say Blanca Felix.
Oh, nice.
And, so yeah, I met some of them, and then
did you do the hover hand?
No, I actually got a good hand this time. Yeah, I needed the hover hand. I was actually going to post it, but yes, I met her. She's like if you've met me, so you know I'm about 5'10", 5'9". She's about maybe 3 inches shorter than me, and she's the goalkeeper. But she made a pretty big mistake and cost the Chivas their second goal, I believe, and put America up 2-0. And then Chivas came back with a pretty nice set piece kick and made it 2-1, but still lost the game. So it was pretty. I think Chivas had pretty good possession, but America took advantage of their opportunities, and of course that mistake from the Chivas goalkeeper to take the win. I did want to say like one really thing, really quick thing. I know I've talked before. I don't think I've talked before, like about the size of the goal of the goals for Femenil. They're the same size, right?
Uh huh.
But how tall is Memo Ochoa compared to Blanca Felix?
I think he's like 6 foot, 6'2".
So that's a pretty big difference. And then you have like wingspan, and then you have like jumping and quickness ability to be able to, you know, pretty much jump all the way to the side posts on each side, maybe not to the corner. But if you saw the goal that she scored, it was a little bit above the box, outside of the box. And, you know, straight on to the goal. When you're, a feminine player, and you're not going to put full strength and try to blast it through. You're going to try to put some curve on it, just like a male would. And so you're not going to blast it, right? But you're still impacting the ball with a good amount of force, and the ball is going to bounce, and it's going to pretty much go to the same speed. So the difference between a woman and a man is sort of negligible on that type of set piece. But what is different is the goalkeeper's ability to quickly react and jump with strength to be able to block that goal. Like you see in the men's game, you see like the Memo or whoever jump and extend themselves to try to block a shot, and the ball goes right past the post or right in the corner.
Yep.
And they can't get it, right? If it doesn't go near the post, or if it doesn't go in the corner, then the goalkeeper most likely is going to block it, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't the case here. This was like maybe 3 feet, 2 feet away from the post.
Yeah.
And she wasn't able to grab it at all. I mean, she maybe got a little bit close. It was a very good placed and a good with good pace on the kick, but there's those differences between the men's and the women's game, but it was a pretty entertaining game. I just wanted to point that sort of interesting thing out.
I looked it up. Blanca Felix is 5'6", so yeah.
Yeah, can you believe that? How tall is Conejo? Is he like 5'6" also?
He's about that height. I know.
Maybe a little bit taller.
Jorge Campos was 5'6" or 5'5". So I mean, we've had short goalkeepers in the past. But that's a good observation. I totally missed the Clásico Nacional. And I do have some criticism when it comes to this kind of stuff. Like if you're gonna call it the Clásico Nacional, if you're gonna hype this up, like this is the Super Bowl for the women's soccer. Why you gotta do it on a Monday? Why not do it on a Sunday? Why not do it? Because I mean, we didn't have regular season games. We didn't have, you know, Liga. Mexico played on a Saturday and a Tuesday. It would have been a great opportunity for the female, like you know, league to get some recognition and to get some respect. But you play on a 5 o'clock on a Monday. It's like, yo, that's a work day, man. Ain't nobody gonna watch this.
Yeah, maybe there's a contract thing or something like that, but... or maybe the stadium was booked for something else, but yeah, that's
a Shakira concert or something.
Well, they're probably set, like they probably have the schedule set from the very beginning of the season.
Uh-huh.
So they didn't even, maybe they didn't take in consideration that the men's team is they're off, you know, that weekend or whatever, so
yeah. I'm all in favor for signing Norma Palafox for Chivas. You know, we could use her in the game against Necaxa at this point. We need all the help that we can get, man. We don't have a striker, and who knows? I don't know what like the skill level is or if she could be able to hang with the men, but at this point, man, we gotta take as much help as we can. I am looking at the highlights as far as the free kick goes that Chivas scored, and oh, goalkeeper, man, some questionable goalkeeping there. I mean, she had it. She just let it go through. And, you know, you mentioned the wingspan. That's definitely a real thing.
Yeah, and it's the explosiveness. I guess that's a good word. Like the explosiveness and the like the muscle density, the muscle strength for like explosive quickness. That's just really different. And that's what you really need for those types of quick reaction and just an explosive type of jump to be able to reach those and block those.
In that one, just looking at the highlight, it was just reaction time. She had a late reaction to the ball and she ended up, you know, eating up the goal. And I can't really criticize her that much because, again, Hugo Gonzalez had a very similar situation against Korea where it should have been an easy save and he just slipped through. But he has, I just don't think he's good enough to be a national goalkeeper. I think for now, Ochoa has shown his worth and, you know, keep him for Qatar. And then from there, we'll see who's next in kin. But as of right now, he's the goalkeeper to beat. But we're about an hour in. We've covered everything that we need to cover. You guys have any closing thoughts before we wrap this up?
On the Ochoa thing, apparently he's still able to play some Warzone, stream it on Twitch, and do pretty good for the national team.
Ooh, you hear that, Chicharo? Put the phone down. Stop hanging out on Instagram.
I did. Did you see a Chicharito? There was a commercial, right? I skipped over it, but I saw him like sitting on a lawn chair.
It was a Bud Light commercial.
Yeah, so at least he's doing something to contribute.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, Giovanni was doing like Denny's commercials when he was out in LA. So
his shoulders.
I'm glad
he
that
had
he's...
one.
Huh?
He had. There was like an ad, and it looked like the cheeseburger was telling him jokes. Like he's holding it and he's laughing, and it's like I've never done that, you know, like. I pick up a burger and I start cracking up. This is like, was it telling him some funny stuff?
I don't know, man.
yeah, I forget. It's something like that. That picture is like.
Do you remember it? Is he sitting like in a booth and it's like in the middle of the field or something like that? Oh, it's a weird picture, man. It's just a weird picture.
It circulated around a little bit like as a joke. I remember that.
Well, yeah, because he's by himself. I mean, you would think if there was been someone else, then yeah, they're talking. Just cracking up.
Yeah. All right, well, I want to thank our audience for listening every week on the Cantina MX Football Podcast. We will continue next week after we hear the aftermath of all these Liguilla, or should I say repechaje fixtures, and we'll be able to have... 8 teams left out of these 12. And I think we're going to wrap it up for tonight.